and required operating permits. Are we willing to risk our community's health in future based on Mr. Borgford's promises? Thank you.
Thank you. Dr. Duncan, Dr. Gregory Duncan.
Thank you. Just to add to the letter that you have in your packets, we understand the economic challenges facing our community. We lived in a town where the timber and fishing industries collapsed, and we saw the impacts of the loss of good jobs. We're pro-growth. We're pro-jobs. But the Borgford proposal to import and burn garbage on this island is not going to help Wrangell. It will harm the existing businesses, will reduce the quality of life for everyone who lives here. Just ask yourselves, how many people will want to visit or move to a town that burns other people's garbage? During your December meeting with Mr. Borgford, he did not acknowledge any of the risks of his plant, including the pollution. He told you, and I quote, air quality isn't even an issue, end quote, but he provided no data to support his claims. Also during your December work session, a local resident asked Mr. Borgford if he had any gasifiers operational anywhere. Mr. Borgford replied, quote, I have one in my plant. Please remember that. In Washington State, pollution from gasifiers is regulated by the Department of Ecology. Operating and even testing a gasifier requires a permit and submission of pollution data. We contacted the Washington Department of Ecology, asking for the air quality permits and emissions data for Mr. Borgford's plant. The Department of Ecology told us that Mr. Borgford has never had a permit to burn any garbage, and he never submitted any pollution data. He did have a temporary permit to burn clean biomass, not garbage, but that permit was rescinded in 2014. And even for that permit, according to a recent email, which I have in my hand, Ecology received no test results or communication that the unit ever operated. Mr. Borgford did not answer all the questions submitted to him by the Economic Development Board. In fact, he wrote, I'm quoting, until we receive a letter of support from the Economic Council, the answers we have given will be sufficient for now. If the borough or any of its boards are considering submitting a letter of support for Mr. Borgford, I would appreciate the opportunity for public input beforehand. The citizens I've spoken with on this island are concerned about the loss of control of the mill site if the assembly sells it to Mr. Borgford, on top of the other concerns that are outlined in our letter. And finally, please, don't be confused by the term bioenergy. This is not bioenergy. This is burning garbage. And they're very different. Thank you.
Thank you. And next up, Paula Rack.
My name is Paula Rack. I live at 7 Mile. And just remember, if it sounds too good to be true, it probably is. You know, we had another shyster in town before, and he's gone now. But I remember back in the day, and probably David's the only one that's here that was back when the mill was running, and they asked the DEC for a permit to burn wood waste, and there was concerns that dioxins would be produced for any lumber, any trees that had been in the water, and back then that was before they barged the trees, and they just put them in rafts in the water, and then so they all had salt water on them. And the DEC ended up giving them a permit, but the terms was that the samples would be tested for dioxins, and guess who got to collect the samples? The mill. So it was like the hen, you know, the fox watching the hen house. I didn't want it then, and I don't want it now. There is no safe way to burn plastics, fiberglass, who knows what else is going to be in there. You can't do it cleanly. It's just impossible. And whatever this guy says, we just have to take it with a grain of salt because there's no one else doing it. We just have his word for it. And we don't want to let him have his thing and then we end up cleaning up the mess.
Thank you. Thank you. Is there any more testimony on anything? All right. And just for the public, He came to the city with this idea, and we decided, especially the leadership, decided to open it up to the public to help us vet. But we have not, there's no proposal, there's just the idea, basically what you heard December 18th at that workshop. And there's been no communication since. Is that correct?
Just some correspondence.
There was correspondence back and forth answering questions from the public.
Yeah. Other than that, no.
Yeah. So I think your comments are spot on. So thank you. All right. Any other thing, Assembly? We'll go on. Item 4, amendments to the agenda. City Assembly Member, Assembly Member Dalrymple.
Madam Mayor, I would like to remove Consent Agenda 6G, approval of the brand package, and put it under new business.
Okay, it should be, okay. Do you want it under unfinished business?
Unfinished business, okay.
Yeah, all right, 6G. Is there any objection? Okay, so 6G is under unfinished business. Any other amendments to the agenda? Okay, hearing none, the agenda is amended. Conflict of interest. Any assembly member have any conflict on any item on the agenda? Hearing none, we're moving on to consent agenda minus G. Move to approve consent agenda.
Move to approve the consent agenda as submitted, minus G.
Second.
Okay. We have a motion by Vice Mayor Powell, second by Robbins. Any discussion? Okay, poll vote, please.
Yes. Assembly members Morris. Sorry.
Okay.
Yes. Powell?
Yes.
DeBoard?
Yes.
Gilbert?
Yes.
And Dalrymple and Mayor Gilbert.
Yes.
And Mayor Gilbert.
Yes.
Sorry.
Thank you.
Been a while since we've been here.
Yeah, I know. I know. This is the first meeting of the new year. We're a little rusty. All right. Item 7, Borough Manager's Report.
Yep. Thank you, Madam Mayor. I'm going to go ahead and kick it to Chief Meek to start tonight's manager's report. I just want to say today we conducted a joint agency operation, drug enforcement operation that was a complete success. And that's due to Gene Meek's leadership at the police department. Just joined us 6 months ago, almost to the date. And I really appreciate all the effort that he's put in building our department, our partnerships with other agencies, including Petersburg Borough today. And I'll let him recap a bit about what happened today.
Well, surprise, right? Catch everybody off guard. It caught the public off guard also. We've been working on this project for a couple months now, and we had received some actual intelligence that we could really move forward with. You really need to be proud of the men and women up there on that hill right now, because they've put in a lot of work, a lot of time, a lot of effort. And today, this morning, we executed a dual search warrant on two different residences, taking into custody three different people, and charged them with distributing of narcotics, all three of them. Two had weapons in the residence with the narcotics. They were charged with that. And then one family group also had the charges of contributing to the delinquency of a minor and endangerment of the children in the house. That's sad. However, on the good note, it was a multi-agency initiative. Petersburg came in. Forestry helped out. We had even our resident Border Patrol came in, did some overwatch for security. Everybody working together pulled this off in such a safe manner that normally when you have something like this, you get doors broken, people tackled, injuries occur. Nothing like that happened today. Everybody was taken into custody quietly, efficiently, and here I am to tell you that the investigations are going forward. We still have a lot of information to work on, and they're still processing evidence up there right now, getting the criminal complaints done. But when you have a successful warrant like this, it gets you more information, and from that more information, you have further investigations. So we're not done yet. We're not. This is just another stepping stone in moving forward with further investigations to clean up some of this that we see around town. I mean, it's been brought to my attention ever since I got here. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, it took 6 months to really get this moving forward, but narcotics investigations take time. But now that we've got it rolling, we're doing good. Only thing that I'd really like to add is I appreciate even Mason showing up today. Our public works people coming out and blocking off the street. There were so many moving parts to this that it was wonderful to see that many people working that well together. Hopefully that you all read the press release. With that being said, I can probably answer some questions, but I have to be careful of what I can divulge because of the ongoing parts of this investigation.
Okay, I'll start out just to ask you if members of the public have any information they'd like to share with you. Who do they call? Is it confidential?
It's always confidential. That? It is always confidential. We're not here to put people at risk, especially in a small town America. If you give us the information, we keep it to ourselves. We find ways of getting the evidence that we need without burning the person who's given us the information. With that being said, it's a small town. If people have information to provide, come and meet with me. If you're nervous about going to the public safety building, I'll meet you out somewhere else. Most everybody knows our officers because mm-hmm. they're all from here. So if you got something that you want to share, get with them. Let them know what it is. Because even some of the smallest information that we receive goes a long, long way.
And then there will be additional cooperation among Southeast communities because this is a problem shared among all the communities. I know at Southeast Conference, there's always sessions on what are we going to do? And
yes.
The secret is coordination and helping one another.
Yes, ma'am. And we were missing that here in Wrangell for a while. When we put out that we were going to start doing these operations, it was amazing at the offers of assistance that we received. If we had went with this a few days prior, we would have had a narcotics canine from Juneau assisting us. But we had to change some of our dates, and people have different resources available in different times. But the fact that even Juneau, Petersburg, members of the CCAD, Ketchikan, everybody was providing information and assistance in some form or another. And I love that relationship that we've really got going today.
Okay. And then there was one other question, two others. Would we expect our officers and perhaps you to assist other communities with the same type of
we would have
situation?
To. Yes, ma'am, yeah. We would have to. Well, and that's part of policing in rural America.
Yeah.
It's not just here. It's almost everywhere you go. You have limited resources, so when somebody is going to have an operation where you're going to need manpower, everybody has to chip in. And we saw that assistance today. We really did. And anybody requesting assistance of us, we're going to lend it. We'll make it happen.
And then the last question that I promised I would ask is from several people. Is fentanyl in our community?
Some of what we obtained today had fentanyl in it, yes.
Okay. Okay. Thank you. Any other comments or questions? Again, thank you, and people can come to you or any officer if they have any concerns.
Please do. Like I said, you don't have to meet me in uniform out in public. We can meet somewhere where it's a little less conspicuous, but if you have information, please come and talk to me. Please.
Thank you. Stay safe.
Yes, ma'am. And folks, I've had a long day, so I'm going to take it to the bar.
All right, thank you.
Thank you.
Really appreciate Chief Meek's leadership and the Wrangell Police Department. We've been silent on this issue for a long time, and I know this is one of the biggest community desires that I've heard since my time as borough manager, certainly assembly desire, and I'm really, really proud of the accomplishments of those guys. And the power between the partnership between us and Petersburg was really incredible to witness today, and I think we'll lend a hand when they have something going on over there in the near future. So much appreciated to the Wrangell PD. I did unleash a letter to the community, published it on the website. Encourage you guys to read that. We understand it's you know, it's a win in some ways, but we have some empathy too for the families that are affected, and so just kind of a note on that. I'd like to get started tonight. Several different things that aren't actually in my manager's report, just due to a lot of different events happening across the borough. This one is relevant to Assemblymember Dalrymple. He sits on the SARA board, and next week in Ketchikan we have the Board of Fish annual meeting. And so I will be going down to testify on behalf of the City and Borough of Wrangell opposing Proposal 156, which is a 25% hatchery reduction, which would have a huge threat against or a huge impact, adverse impact on our local economy. Of course, we have the Anita Bay terminal area, which is a linchpin in our commercial fishing industry for a lot of our gill netters, our seiners. I remember the days that probably my crew share off Anita Bay probably paid for my first house. So, I mean, you can see it tangibly throughout this community. So that's something we'll be advocating for. We will also be supporting Proposition 159 and encouraging a management plan of the Blind Sioux area to effectively use broodstock from St. Andrews Creek to the Anita Bay Terminal area. There's been years that have gone by without any broodstock from Andrews Creek to Anita Bay, and there'll be years where, you know, kings return. It's also a critical sport area. It's given the Stikine River Delta is an area of concern. It does offer a sport fishing and recreational opportunity to our community and its visitors, but namely it's a commercial area, and I see a commercial fisherman here in the audience. So that sound pretty good?
Yeah, really good.
Okay, great. So I'll be doing that down at the Board of Fish. I encourage Assemblymember Dalrymple to fill in the blanks during assembly business. There's a lot of Trump administration executive orders, EOs as we call them, flowing through the bureaucracy right now, and it's creating quite a stir. Several good for Alaska, several maybe causing a little bit of disruption. One of those disruptions is late last night we got reports that grant reimbursements and loan reimbursements would be paused for the next 90 days. That does seem to be true. We're still kind of reading between the lines on kind of a minimalist communication. So we've been working with Murkowski's office, expressing some of our concerns, some of the major programs that will be impacted. Obviously, our water treatment plants, our biggest concern will be several million dollars out on reimbursements to be collected through EDA, and the state revolving fund is even a form of federal financial assistance. So I can assure the assembly that we have ample coverage and liquidity, so we'll satisfy our cash flow needs for the coming months, and 90 days won't be a problem. Even 180 wouldn't be a problem, but we do want to get paid because we want to reinvest that money and continue on to our next project. What I expect probably is some delays in rolling out some of our new federal projects that are reaching the construction phase. We might be a little bit lenient and kind of slow roll things a little bit, but we'll continue to prioritize locally funded materials, the water treatment plants of the world. We did express concern for our RAISE grant, our PIDP planning grant out at the mill site, our FEMA reimbursement. You've seen this administration's comments on FEMA, so we want to make sure that we get our $1 million back that we've sought reimbursement for over the last 15 months. That has all went through the EQCR, essentially the review process that FEMA has, and we'd like to get that reimbursement.
Okay. Tell the public what the RAISE grant does for us and the PEID grant.
Okay. Yeah. The RAISE grant was for the rain. We were awarded $25 million for the Wrangell Harbor Basin Project, which is a complete replacement and renovation of the Inner Harbor, Reliance Harbor, and the Standard Oil float systems, new pilings, everything, re-dredging. So it's a huge project for the community. Obviously, it's our oldest harbor, and it'll get a complete revamp. So a lot of the criteria, we believe, is not going to be influenced by the executive order, and I think that's Senator Murkowski's office's assessment as well. But there's some uncertainty involved. The PIDP planning we got through the U.S. Department of Transportation is related to planning activities out at the mill site. Just planning activities. I don't need to get into the weeds on it. About $400,000, and so we've been working through that. Subdivision planning, condition assessments of the bulkhead, those types of activities in that grant. So those are those two. FEMA was obviously related to the 2023 Wrangell landslide disaster, and so it's pretty characteristic of FEMA to reimburse a year to 2 years later, which kind of speaks to the inefficiency of the process, but I'll digress on that. We also have a concern of our state revolving fund. The state revolving fund is used for a variety of purposes throughout the state of Alaska, but the state of Alaska receives monies from the federal government, which does make it a form of federal financial assistance and does put maybe those reimbursements on hold. So we have two funding instruments through the state revolving fund that affect our water treatment plant. We're taking draws off an interim loan for the USDA term financing, and then we also have a term SRF loan as well. So we're near completion of the water treatment plant. We're going through the commissioning process right now, but it is of concern because we do want that money back. So other concerns, I mean, we've got $75 million worth of projects in play right now, so obviously this is potentially a significant disruption, but Amber and I and Jackson are prepared to take it as they come, and we're not going to get panicked about it, but there's not much we can do to influence things other than understand how to operate in this new environment. So a little bit on the Trump EO. I think the Trump EO on natural resource extraction and production in Alaska is a good thing for our town. I think we'll see the Tongass talked about again here the next 4 years. I'll get to that in a bit later item as we talk about our partnership with the Trust Land Office, but certainly a good thing for a resource state. Little update on SEPA. We had our first board meeting at SEPA. The mayor and I did. Not a lot of action items at the board meeting, but kind of laying the stage for a productive year. Did a lot of things to keep rates stabilized last year. I did some good financing activities last year. I thank Member Prasanka for his contributions as well as he steps off the board. We do anticipate with the cold weather this weekend, it was 4 to 5 degrees on Saturday, Sunday, but I've seen it popped up to 9 on my Apple iPhone, so I don't know how reliable that is, but we will do some peak load shaving, which essentially means we will supplement the North End grid. Per the long-term power sales agreement, Petersburg and Wrangell are allocated 24 megawatts, and so as we bump up across that threshold between the two communities, if we do, Wrangell would be responsible for subsidizing that that power demand need through our generators, and then on Sunday, Petersburg will be bearing that responsibility. So that's what peak load shaving really means, and we don't think it'll be a material financial impact to the borough. It might not even happen, but something right. to be aware of.
And we don't have any approximate time when the generators might go on, or?
We are responsible from the cold weather on Saturday all the way till midnight, and then we'll hand it off to Petersburg. So. And last year, we took the second shift, Petersburg took the first, so we alternate back and forth, really good partnership between the utilities. So a note on that. We talked about drug busts today. We talked about, in your packets, you have utility and harbor AR. If there's any questions, happy to answer them, but generally from a thematic perspective, utility AR looks really good. We will be sending accounts to collections in the month of February. The same will be set for the harbor. I tried to send out some more discreet notes to the assembly, so we're not talking about individual accounts in public, but the harbor does have 12 cases where they're potentially seizing vessels to pay for 12 different impound notices, rather, for vessels that they're working through right now. So some of those larger balances you see in that 120-day bucket are being worked on. The most material balance on the harbor accounts receivable bucket is American Cruise Lines. They have checks in the mail, and I think we might have already received them today. I just was swept away from other things, so I can't confirm, but they did confirm to us those checks are in the mail. So not any really concerns, just kind of going through our routine process with accounts receivable. We look really good from a utilities perspective. We are planning on postponing our LEPC, our local emergency planning committee meeting, until the month of February. By that time, hopefully we'll have a new fire medic trainer, which tonight we have an item to rename that position to the fire EMS administrator position. We'd like to have that individual on board before we commence the next LEPC meeting. So that was a productive start, but we want to make sure that we have a full group to start. Now I'll kind of get into the bulk of the manager's report. Those were just kind of items in the last few days. I really want to get in the habit of honoring members of our organization that have reached pivotal moments in their employment here, length of service milestones. Dorian Spray has recently retired from the borough. I thank her for her service after 14 years to the fire department. J.C. Gillen is our Marine Service Center leadman that took over this year, 9 years of service to the borough. Lane Fitzgerald, 4 years at Parks and Rec. He was our Employee of the Year mm-hmm. at our annual Christmas get-together. Really appreciate all Lane's contributions in making our parks and rec facilities really shine. Callie's Callie Miller has held several different positions at the borough. She's been in the finance department. She's been at the Harbor Department, and Steve Miller could not say enough great things. He's very lucky to have Callie, so thank you, Callie, for 3 years of service. And David McCollins really hit the ground running as our head diesel mechanic over at Light and Power. Recently just performed some maintenance activities that if he didn't do, would have cost us several tens of thousands of dollars, and so he caught something before a bearing that went bad before we ran unit number 3. So I really appreciate David's proactive approach to maintenance and 2 years of service. So thank you to those employees. We have several jobs posted on our website, so just go ahead to wrangell.com/jobs. There's an electric utility superintendent position open. There's a maintenance 1, 2, or 3 position open at Public Works. There's actually 2 positions of those. And then we have a property and sales tax clerk position open. We have a police officer position open in anticipation of one of our members departing in April, May. That hire will be contingent on that officer leading, so we'll be adding to our department. So that's just part of the deal. And then pending assembly approval tonight, we may have a human resource manager / executive assistant for hire, and job description for the fire EMS administrator will go through the assembly tonight for potential hire and effective tomorrow. So those are the jobs we have upcoming. I've got a lot of questions about the sewer outflow over the last few weeks. The sewer outflow repairs will be bid out in nearly a week. They were slated for today, but there's an addendum that needed to be issued, and we wanted to give contractors time to readjust. We are estimating the bids to come in between $60,000 and $70,000. We settled with the insurance company at $50,000, and we have devised a plan, or we're crafting a plan currently to prevent future damages from occurring to our outfall. We're going to get a bigger fluorescent sign that actually clearly marks the outfall. We're going to mark them with buoys in a do not anchor zone. We're going to contact NOAA and make sure the chart's up to snuff. So we'll take precautions. We've also let Petersburg know that we're going to do these things and that you should do them too, because they have a very similar position that we do. So that's been...
And for the public, do you want to tell them what happened briefly?
We had a tender that anchored up in the area of the sewer outfall. It was a stormy night, drug his anchor and wrapped his anchor around the outfall.
Which is a pipe, essentially.
Speculation on whether he worked the anchor for quite some time. I won't get into that, but really did a number in on our outfall. And our settling pond at the wastewater treatment plant was starting. It didn't overflow, but it was moments away from overflowing. And we had to rip the outfall at the beach, which is treated wastewater. It's not like we were dumping raw sewage on the beach. Our regulatory agencies, the EPA and the DEC, were involved in that. So we're beyond reproach in that regard. But that's kind of the moral of the story. So now we have to repair that outfall and raise it up and repair that section of flow, or the HDPE pipe. So that's the sewer outfall circumstances. We will be pursuing IBEW collective bargaining for the police department. In July 24th, 2024, they did elect to join the union, and so we have to go through that process. Right now, they're covered under the IBEW CBA umbrella kind of agreement, but they will have a standalone agreement that we will negotiate here in February, start negotiating. You will be appointing 2 assembly members to serve on that negotiating committee tonight. We have several upcoming work sessions I wanted to notify the public of. Perhaps the most exciting one is our Entitlement Lands and Timber 2025 initiative. That'll be presented on February 25th. It's a Tuesday. On March 11th, we have a fee and rate schedule analysis presentation that is setting the stage for the second meeting in April, whereby we actually have to adopt our fee and rate schedule, which our code provides. And
that's for our utilities. So that's in everything.
Everything. Yeah. Yep. General fund fees, special revenue fund fees, and then namely our enterprise funds, which we care very much about the health of. We have Monday, March 24th, if it works for the assembly, a joint school board work session. We had one in the fall, but we'd like to do a follow-up one before they finalize their budget and present it to us. Does that work for everybody, or think it may work for everybody?
March 24th, school board workshop. Let us know if it doesn't work.
Okay. I'll take them as a yes.
Yeah, let's go.
And then on the budget work session, we'll have one on May 14th. We'll do others if necessary, but we plan on getting it done in one night. I think in my first couple years here, we did 9 hours of work sessions on the budget, and we got some more trust in the process, and we got a really great product, and a really great new finance director too. So I think we will be just fine. Budget worksheets have been sent out to directors, and I'll get to that just in a second. Had a good routine visit with Alaska Airlines. Really appreciate Casey Hostetler and Scott Haberstad's time. They've been a really great partner. Understand that prices are high for tickets at Alaska Airlines, but we are subsidized through the Essential Air Services Act. They're controlled on how much profit they can actually obtain through business to wrangle, and some of these subsidized communities, it's only 5% of total, and we're subsidized to the tune of $4 million and change, if I remember right. So had good conversations with them about what we see in the future for Essential Air Services. They really commended the mayor on leading the effort and getting petitions signed and supporting that effort through Congress as they renew Essential Air Services for our communities here in Southeast. We also covered key topics like redoing the terminal in Wrangell. They're going to conduct a flow assessment this next year. We're going to kind of schedule a known shipper 101 event so people can use that. Many people don't know how to sign up to be a known shipper, and actually Alaska Airlines is fairly cheap when you compare alternatives. I won't mention the alternatives, but it can be. And so that's just another option to use. And we talked about evolving cargo needs as some of our seafood processors have heightened demand for their freighter programming. So we'll continue to keep those conversations with Alaska Airlines alive, and we really appreciate the partnership. I've produced a budget FY26 development calendar for you all. I won't get into it, but essentially this leads to a budget development and adoption by Tuesday, May 27th, which is about a month earlier than last year, coming out of the landslide. Last year, we were pretty delayed in developing the 25 budget, and understandably so, but I'd like to put that in front of your guys' eyes so you guys can get an idea of the critical milestones in the budget development process. We've made really great progress on our emergency operations plan. It's really a great first draft. I encourage community members to go to wrangleplanning.com. They've actually set up, they being Katmai Solutions, our contractor, a website for planning and EOP and hazard mitigation plan related activities. So each draft of the EOP and the hazard mitigation plan will be live on that website so community members can review and offer their comments. If you do have comments on our EOP, I just invite you to send your comments to the clerk at wrangle.com, and she'll facilitate that, and we'll get those comments back to our contractor and discuss them here with the assembly. So prior to full adoption of the EOP, I would suggest a work session to go through it. Might be a little painful because it is 123 pages and growing right now, but we do need to understand that document and the implications it has on our planning efforts and our response efforts. So that was a big goal of the assembly, so we're following through on that. $9,000 is attributable to Senator Stedman, so thank you for reappropriating funds to that project. Municipal entitlement lands and the Trust Land Office Partnership, lots going on in timber and preparation of. Not a lot of communities politically set up for timber anymore. Sitka's not going to do it. Juneau's not going to do it. Ketchikan's not going to do it. Probably just us and POW. So, you know, that's a very storied history here in Wrangell. We have a lot of opportunity from our entitlement lands. We've recently formed a new partnership with the Trust Land Office, who's a key landholder in the area. They have 4,000 acres. We have 12,000 acres. We're going to be pursuing analysis, stratification, and implementation of timber harvest over the next few years, and hopefully sustainably for a long, long time. We're also going to be looking at supporting infrastructure investments from a value-add perspective, inviting private partners. I have a meeting set up with ADA on Tuesday, which is essentially Alaska's private investment bank, private sector investment bank, inviting things like value-add activities to the mill site would be encouraged and welcomed. So we're going to be working through things like that with them, as well as infrastructure that would help our partnership. So refurbishing our mill property and creating it to be a viable export site as well. And the last key goal was to create subdivisions for eligible areas and participate in land sales. So the Trust Land Office has been harvesting timber for a long, long time, and they're the experts, so it's great to have that expertise. We're also currently lobbying with the governor's office. We probably talk to the governor's office each day for the last 2 weeks about this development. They're very excited. There's not too many communities that are positioned well for timber. We are. They have a potential for the Tongass is on the table with a new administration. But what we're trying to do is encourage DNR to move everything up in the Wrangell District on their five-year schedule to the very top so they can share and pool their lands with this joint venture between us and the Trust Land Office. We're also pushing DNR to get our patents finally approved and done with. We've been waiting since 2008, so it's quite some time. One-third of our patents are received and fully approved, and two-thirds are in the management rights category. They've been approved for patenting but have not been given formally to us. We can harvest timber while they're in the management rights category, so we have complete management ability and ability to survey land, sell it, do conditional sales, those types of things. So,
and for the public, this is 9,006 acres of entitlement lands that was granted to the city of Wrangell when we became a borough.
That's correct.
And
actually a really neat tool for the public to use is you can go on to Alaska Mapper and you click the land estate map and it'll show all the different landowners in the Wrangell district. It'll show it all in Alaska and across the country. But if you zoom in on Wrangell Island, it'll show our entitlement lands in a slash blue, the DNR lands in a gray, and then trust lands in orange, and then of course all of our other city-owned properties. So really great tool to get familiar with as we start these conversations, and really would like the public to participate in our work session on the 25th. I think it's going to be really exciting. We've had a disruption to our 2025 cruise ship calendar, potentially our 26 calendar. We had 7 ships reroute to the Port of Kowak, which wasn't even a thing a couple years ago. Unatotem Corp and NCL invested in a big port out in Kowak. I'm not sure what they do out there, but we'd much rather have them come here to Wrangell. A lot more excursions, and we will be marketing those excursions here. We'll have a more robust marketing campaign for our tourism industry. But we need to have more offerings and upgrade our infrastructure to accommodate the level of tourism traffic that we expect here in the future. So the total loss of about 4,400 passengers in the 25 schedule. We did up the schedule from last year. We had about 25,000. We bumped it up to 40, and now we're back down to 35 for just those scheduled trips through the cruise line agencies of Alaska. There's like ships like the Lindblad and American Cruise Lines that are not part of that schedule, so we'll still be about close to 40,000, which is about a 15,000 addition compared to the prior year. And then in 2026, we'll have approximately 65,000 to 70,000 passengers here in Wrangell, and that's probably a good thing. We had a little contingency factor in there for disruptions from Kowak, but we will continue to market ourselves and work with operators on opportunities that exist that we want to exploit, and we're going to get creative with some of our partnerships with some of the cruise lines and incentivize them for them to come here perennially. And any questions on the tourism disruption? All the schedules are available on our website. Congressionally directed spending, we'll be talking about that tonight, as well as CAPSIS. I won't get too much into the weeds on it. We have a $10 million outstanding request for a wastewater treatment plant, a public safety building at $2.438 million, East Channel Emergency Access Road at $2.5 million. All those items are still in play. They have reached the Senate bill and been approved through the Senate. There needs to be a House reconciliation before that Congressional Appropriations Act is actually passed. We're in what's called a short-term continuing resolution right now, which means they won't pick it back up for 25 appropriations until March. So we won't know the status until March. We just don't want to hear the term long-term CR, because that essentially wipes the floor and we move forward with 26 requests. And we are continuing to submit 26 CDS requests. And CDS, again, is congressionally directed spending. CAPSIS is the state's version of that. So that's a state earmarks for infrastructure and other project initiatives. So you can see our list of state and federal priorities, but I'll get to that later in the meeting. I didn't mention it to the assembly, but we also submitted for a CDS request through the Alaska Municipal League for another garbage truck for $250,000. We did get that, and it's moving forward through the CDS process along with our other three projects I just mentioned. So that's been approved through the Senate bill. And if we get approved for FY25, we'll be looking at $15.5 million to the city and borough of Wrangell at no cost other than an immaterial match to the borough. So we got our last garbage truck for free. We may get a second garbage truck for free. So just, again, we're trying to do our best for the ratepayer on really making the cost as minimal as possible. People aren't actually paying for those garbage trucks. We're doing that through grants, which is really a testament to the staff. We did apply for a smooth drum roller with the presence of gravel roads increasing. We have 5th and 6th Avenue that just came online. We have Alder Top slated to sell later this year. Those are some pretty big gravel roads, and we also have, you know, city parks, Shoemaker parking lot, those types of things. So it'll allow for a safer and a road that lasts longer. By having a smooth general alert, it's a big request out of Public Works. So we put in a request for $195,000. We'll see if we get it in 26. I really appreciate the discussions we've had with the Wrangell Cooperative Association regarding Lot C, the healthcare subdivision. They're going to move forward with the sale of the entire lot, less a little bit for Bruce Smith. They've they've kind of negotiated that, and they've done a good job of accommodating Bruce's needs, and I think vice versa. And so that lot was appraised at $2 per square foot, somewhere between the $500,000 and $600,000 range for a total lot sale. And we can debate the proceeds where those go in that item. But we do plan for conveyance in the second meeting of March. And so we'll go to the preliminary plat, final plat, and conveyance. So this item will go back to planning and zoning in February. And then we also had discussions with WCA about an early head start program here in Wrangell, as well as a child care program. So we're working on a partnership with WCA and Clinkin Ida to make that a reality. Child care is a huge need across the community, and we'll be looking to use our partners to leverage that opportunity. So just a word on that. Several capital projects have come to an end and are starting. Most notably, we finished our 5th and 6th Avenue improvements. I really thank Mike, Amber, and Santiago for bringing that home. Solid waste transfer station loading dock, you can see that in the picture in the manager's report, that's done. That was a big safety concern by the assembly a few years ago. $250,000 of that was covered through the Downland Commission, so we thank them for funding a portion of that project. Mount Dewey Trail extension was complete, looks really, really great. Nearly $900,000 of grant funding. We're only out about $150,000 total. We will have a budget amendment for that project here at the February 11th meeting, but some of the recently completed projects. So I'll just put some pictures there for you. Obviously, our flagship project is the water treatment plant. I don't think a lot of community members actually realize that it's built and we're going through the commissioning phase. We are going to offer the opportunity for assembly members and pairs to go up next week, and we'll give you a full tour of the facility and what it looks like. I'd really encourage each of you to go up there. The mayor went up there, I don't know, 3-4 weeks ago to see the progress, but they're actually going through the commissioning phase. So we're really close. Final commissioning slated for March, and then we will be transitioning treatment plants, and we will have ample, clean drinking water. And not that it isn't already, but it'll be better. And we will invite community members to come up in April or May to see it, and the school kids as well, just so they can see a little bit of the behind the scenes. Sometimes when we don't have projects right out in front of the public, they don't act like they exist. But
right,
this one is very, very real and going to be very impactful and heavily grant funded. So it won't influence the ratepayer to the degree that it otherwise would. Sewer outfall repairs, talked about that, in line with budget expectations so far. We'll see where the bid's coming at. City Park Pavilion, the state gave us $276,000 for a park pavilion, which is really generous, but also kind of silly. We actually reduced the project by $30,000 because we feel guilty about the amount. And so McGraw, who's doing our water treatment plant, actually got that contract as well as the high school elevator, so they'll be working on those projects after. There is about a 4-month lead time on the elevator, but that will get here in the summer months and installed, so everything's moving forward as planned. And our big transportation project for the FY25 budget cycle will be St. Michael Street at City Market Hill, complete overhaul of surface transportation infrastructure as well as the underground infrastructure. And I know the community is often disappointed at the state of our surface transportation infrastructure, our roads. I agree, this is something that's been neglected for a long time. But I also agree that we should be prioritizing our roads that have underground infrastructure that is really degraded and 60 years old in some cases of a useful life. We need to take care of those underground infrastructure before we pursue roads that don't even have any underground infrastructure underneath them. So that's our goal. St. Michael Street will be first. FY26 proposed will be McKinnon Street. The school roof reconstruction project, so as part of our $10.5 million project at the Wrangell Public Schools that we got through the DEED, Department of Education Early Childhood Development Grant Program, Major Maintenance Grant Program. We discussed with DEED the potential to phase our project to not influence school district operations. It also allows for contractors to get reasonable amounts of work done during a construction cycle, so we're going to prioritize the elementary school roof, the middle school roof, and the high school, portions of the high school roof first. We'll have to get that done this summer. So Amber's working on solicitation and design for that project, and then the next summer we'll wrap up the rest of the project completely. And we have to do that because our bond covenants substantiate that after 85%, or that we have to spend 85% of the proceeds within 3 years, which that'll be 3 years in 2026. So just a note on that, but really exciting. We do contribute more than just our local contribution to the school. We actually contribute a lot more than our local contribution to the school in the form of capital projects, and that just needs to be stated.
And what is the public ownership on that? We passed, the public voted on the $3.5 million school bond.
Yes.
But payment is not coming out of property tax. It's coming out of SRS funds.
That's correct. The public made money on that bond because we don't charge the public or the taxpayers debt service for that.
Right.
We don't pass that debt service on in the form of property taxes, which is characteristic to most municipalities. We used our SRS proceeds to cover that. Now SRS, if
know.
It goes away, then the taxpayers are going to secure that at the end of the day. But
yeah, we're in
The taxpayers have not been paying for this debt service, and in the meantime, we've raked in about $350,000 of investment income that does go towards the project. So we'll get $350,000 further in the project and growing. So it'll probably be close to $400,000 to $500,000 by the time we spend our proceeds. So
thank you.
Great development. I appreciate the finance director's diligence in following through on those investments. The reservoir bypass and dam safety upgrades is moving forward. We're going to prioritize the reservoir bypass, which of course is the project that takes the upper reservoir straight to the water treatment plant, bypassing the lower reservoir, allowing us to drain it, do maintenance activities in the lower reservoir, clear out the stumps. So we're going to start that project up shortly. It's already designed. It's been designed for quite some time. We have several funding instruments, some federal, going towards that project. But looking forward to getting that going in late summer of 2025. We're continuing to talk about the data center concept here in Wrangell. The likelihood of using the cold storage is getting greater and greater as we go through the approval process with the Economic Development Administration. We have to get a master lease agreement approved before they'll consider a change to the permissible use of the facility. And the impact is rather minuscule. It's about 1,600 square feet is what we're looking at. These containers are these cabinets, essentially these servers that host a data farm, are very, very expensive, but in hindsight, they're fairly small and don't establish a very big footprint. So it's a great way to have an anchor tenant at Light and Power, optimize the resources we have here at the borough, and we just want to get it before Petersburg. That's the moral of the story. Even though they're a great partner, we don't want them to have it over us. So data center, and then just closing comments. It's really busy. There's so much going on right now. The legislative process, obviously public safety initiatives that you guys just witnessed today, lots of projects ongoing, a lot of economic development opportunities. There's been some turnover in assembly. We'll have a new assembly member here hopefully on the February 11th meeting, which we're very excited about. And just a plug, I'd really like to thank Assemblymember Morrison for her contributions to the assembly over the years. I really enjoyed that relationship with her, and I'm going to miss her and wish her well, and Gary as well as they go down to Montana. That's all I got for the manager's report. Hopefully that wasn't too long, but the mayor never cuts me off. So.
Right, yeah. Any questions? Comments?
Not at this time.
All right. All right, moving right along, we've got a Harbor Master report for the community and the assembly to read. Make sure you do that. Nolan Center report. Please read the emergency operations plan and offer comment on that. Now we come to the exciting part, the second quarter budget report. And assembly, the budget report is on page, I have the ending of that. It ends at 253, page 253.
213, Mayor.
Oh, 213. Okay.
215.
All right, 215. What questions? Jackson, our finance director, is on the line. Does anybody have any questions?
Yeah, thank you, Madam Mayor. I might just kick it to Jackson just for a brief overview. 4 or 5 sentence overview, and then if you guys have any specific questions, I know that Jackson did a really great job putting the report together, kind of noting any anomalies in the budget, some are budget amendment related.